You're listening to The Exchange on Siouxland Public Media, and I'm Mary Hartnett. Today on the program, we check in with families, students, and teachers going to school as the coronavirus continues to spread in Siouxland. It's part of our project, Going Viral, Lessons Learned During the Pandemic. We'll do that in a couple of minutes. But first, there was a heated debate Monday night at the Sioux City School Board meeting about the failure, some say, of the virtual learning program. More than 800 students, or a third of those in the program, are back in class in person after complaints about the lack of learning and the fact that some students failed to take part at all. At the meeting on Monday night, Superintendent Dr. Paul Gosman said there were many frustrations with the district's virtual learning format and teachers needed more training. School board member Dan Greenwell confronted Dr. Gosman about the lack of urgency in addressing the problem.
If we fully acknowledge that, are we not going to do something else and say, you know what, we need to do extra effort, whatever that extra effort may be. And yes, it will cost additional money. I recognize that. But we've just said we're not adequate, we're not sufficient, it's not good enough, but yet we're accepting it and not doing anything about it. I'm struggling with that.
Gosman said administrators would get the needed resources to teachers to help them improve as they lead those virtual classrooms. Gosman also said many teachers are concerned about staying safe. He said if cases continue to mount, the district might have to apply for total virtual learning.
And I'm worried that the State Department of Education won't give us that authority because our community positivity rate and absent positivity rates won't be high enough. But we're not at that point right now. I don't want to alarm anybody.
But there is some alarm among Siouxland area teachers, students, and families. And we're tracking their experiences in our project, Going Viral, Lessons Learned During the Pandemic. We have several families we're talking to. Here's Sheila Brummer with one Sioux City family.
Thanks for listening. I'm Sheila Brummer. Another family taking part in the Siouxland Public Media special project, Going Viral, Lessons Learned During the Pandemic, is the Barron's family of Sioux City. Their son, Tate, is a fifth grader at Perry Creek Elementary in the Sioux City Community School District. Last week, students returned to the classroom full-time after doing a hybrid model for the first 2 weeks. During hybrid learning, students did 2 days a week in school, either a Monday, Thursday, or Tuesday, Friday. Families who chose to do all learning online continued to work from home. Tate's mother, Donna, talked to her son after his first day back to school with his full class. Here's a couple of minutes of their conversation on September 8th that starts with Tate washing his hands.
How did everything go today? What was it like going into the school instead of lining up outside?
So everyone was kind of about, they were in the gym and they were coming out. My class was already in the classroom.
Oh, so you just went right into the classroom? Okay, so that worked out really well.
Yeah.
You weren't tardy, right?
No.
Okay.
I was very not tardy.
Good. And then what was it like being in the classroom with all the people?
It was
like a full class, right? Like everybody? How many people are in your class?
24. Yeah.
Okay. So you really were split in half, pretty much, right? You were pretty close, so 24.
It was fun because I got to meet, well, not meet, but see some of my old friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, well, yeah, a lot of them. You probably saw everybody today, didn't you?
Yeah.
Did you get to see some of the other classes, or were you kind of separate?
I saw a little bit of the classes while they were maybe like, because we have the same restroom and wash break.
Nice.
So I got to see some.
Oh, some of your friends. That's cool.
Yeah.
That's so exciting. I bet you were so happy to see them. You want to just like give them high fives and talk, but you can't, can you? No. Okay. What was it like walking in with all those people? How'd it feel? A little weird, a little good? You liked it?
It was good.
Were you happy to get away from your crying mother? Yeah, I don't blame you.
How long did you cry?
Not very much longer. I called Dad, and he calmed me down a little bit. So, thank you for being good.
You're welcome.
You wore your mask all day?
Yes,
okay.
I did. I barely took it off.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Once or twice.
Okay. So, all right. Good job today. You excited to go back tomorrow?
Yeah, it was so much fun.
Good. I know. School is fun. Okay? You'll have fun.
That's Tate Barron's and his mother, Donna. We followed up with Donna about a week later. She updates the school year, the latest COVID-19 infections, and even her role as PTA president to Perry Creek Elementary.
He had a great week. He's so happy to see all of his friends and kind of get back to learning in that everyday capacity. I think I struggled more than he did. That first day back was probably tough for a couple of reasons. So it's hard to see that amount of, we're just not used to seeing that amount of people together. So that was very shocking. It's how quickly you get used to things and being kind of in smaller groups or isolated. I did not expect that to affect me quite that much. I was also a little sad to lose his company on a daily basis. We have, we've been together now for so many months. It's hard to lose him every day as a mother trying to hold on. But I let him go. So I did let him go.
You only cried a little bit.
Just in front of him, which I'm sure scarred him for life. But that's okay. He'll be okay. Yeah, it was very shocking to turn that corner at the school and see, 600 bodies plus staff filing into the school. It was raining, so of course they had to go into the building instead of lining up outside, so that was a little bit of a different protocol that we hadn't experienced yet. So I think the shock of it was probably what caused those, and he was heavily embarrassed. So I did my job as a mother very well.
And I'm sure you have a close bond. I mean, you have, one son and...
Mm-hmm. He is an only child. So, we do a lot together. And as a family of three, we just, we spend a lot of time together. And he's probably coddled too much and gets too much and is spoiled rotten too much. But it's who we are. So that's okay.
Hey, I have a one and done as well. And she's very spoiled. Yeah. Hopefully she isn't listening to this because she'll get away with a lot more.
Yeah, I know. For I don't sure. want to tell him either. He'll know. He already knows.
No, I know last week the Sioux City Community School District, they did have a second grade class at Nodlin Elementary actually closed down. Is that something that you're prepared for? Have you thought about that? Or
it did prompt us to have those conversations about what happens when that happens to us, because I do think it's a matter of time now and not if, but a when. We started to talk about what our plan would be. So now both of us are back to work. Todd always worked, but I'm back to work as well. And we have to, he's old enough to stay by himself sometimes, but I don't think he's old enough to handle on virtual schooling by himself. That they've been pretty honest about the virtual schooling, that you do have to help out quite a bit with it. So we're trying to see how that would work and have a plan in place. But luckily, I think we both have some time off that we can take or switch up or have flexible schedules. So hopefully when that happens, we can do it successfully and take the punches as they come, so to speak.
Could you imagine not having that flexibility?
No. I can. I can imagine it, but it is a scary prospect, which I imagine is why the district chose to go back full time. I know the hybrid plan was very tough on families all across the district to not have that. The built-in child care that the school provides and that built-in stability that the school provides. But it surprised me how quickly then that grade was, quarantined or put to virtual learning. I believe there's even some I've heard in the private school districts that have gone that way as well. So given the 2 weeks that they say things start to pop up with testing and transmission rates, the 2 weeks was a little shocking, but we'll see. Kind of have to start somewhere. So here we go.
Yeah, it's an adventure for sure for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's unknown.
The scariest thing about this whole prospect, and you don't want to live in fear, but you do want to live in reality, and we just don't know. So we can talk about some things like the death rates and the transmission rates, but what we can't talk about is the long-term effects of people who have the long-term illness, what that does to their health, what that does to their economical status. I think this will play out a lot longer than we ever expected or hoped, and that's the sad part. So, mm-hmm.
And actually, usually I've been doing phone interviews, and it's so hard to do those. So what we did today, you can probably hear the insects and maybe a few birds out here. We're actually, and you can hear a car drive by. Donna and I are actually out in her front lawn doing an interview with a couple chairs, and we're probably 8 feet apart at least or more with two different microphones that I had you set up your own equipment.
Just I'm learning stuff.
So yes, awesome. To social distance. Because it's, but you know, it's hard not to have that connection and to see people's eyes when you talk to them and hear the story that you've been sharing so openly with us. We really appreciate that.
I think that's also the biggest thing with younger, so you know, 20 something and younger, that connection is so important during those times in your life. I think as you get older, you kind of bank that connection and you know you have it and you're confident in it, but as you're younger, you're maybe not so confident in it. And that's probably been the hardest part for younger people than me, because I'm older. Old.
But, I'm older, so.
You know, but young at heart, right? You know, losing that connection is very difficult. You know, I can understand the college age kids where they just got their freedom and now it's all taken back, or the young students who desire to see their peers and their friends. They don't quite get it. They don't quite get what's wrong and what they did wrong to deserve this, and they did nothing wrong, and that's a hard conclusion to come to. So
except our daughter, she wants to stay home with us now 24/7.
I have noticed that with our son too. He's a little, he will kill me for this. He's a lot more snuggly, a lot more, you know, he was just starting to kind of put his hand out and say, I don't want to see you in the school. And he's probably happy about that part, that I'm not in the school quite as much. But, you know, he was just kind of gaining that independence. And he's kind of gone backwards a little bit in that. The hugs and the snuggles and the have come. And it's probably just the lack of social interaction he gets with his peers, I think, is causing that. So I wonder if that's true for a lot of kids.
And usually you are at the school quite a bit because you are the PTA president. Mm-hmm. And I know this is the time of year that you ramp up fundraisers. You usually do a fun run. Mm-hmm. That does raise quite a bit of money. You were trying to get a new playground put together.
Yeah, so we were successful on that last year, which is nice, but it's very difficult because I don't know that the kids have been able to use it yet. So that got installed. So at least that campaign was successful, but we usually start a new campaign with every school year. So we've come up with some alternative fundraisers, but also plan for less, just raising less money in general. People have lost their jobs. We're just not in as stable of, you know, economy as we were. So with everything, so very difficult to not be in the school as much. It feels a little bit more disconnected because this will be, you know, for 5 years I've spent a lot of time in the schools. So that's a little difficult to come to grips with, and it's a little difficult to get motivated to work or volunteer for the PTA and under, you know, usually getting back into that routine, you kind of like, all right, here we're going to go. And now everything is on Zoom and everything is through emails and phone calls and no meetings. And I think we're doing the best we can. Maybe we're off to a little slow start, but we'll get there. And we started a fundraiser, so hopefully it'll be successful.
And I will disclose, I am part of the PTA as well. And I'm kind of surprised, though, by the lack of participation even before the pandemic. I don't know if parents are just super busy or this is just one more thing to add to the long list of activities that kids take part in nowadays.
I think that, you know, what I've seen are parents are free at different times during the year. So usually we just try to captivate that or, you know, capture that and get volunteers, different volunteers throughout the year so they don't get burned out. But yeah, I don't know. It is interesting. You see our school and you say it's a lack of participation, but I think that we have one of the higher. So if you can imagine.
Yeah, that's what you've said at some of the meetings, mm-hmm. that some of the schools really, do they even have a PTA?
I don't know that all the elementary schools do, and none of the middle or high schools do. But they do different things, booster clubs and things. They kind of shifts mm-hmm. focus a little bit when you come to middle and high school. But yeah, we get a lot of our members are not low, like actual members, but the ones that actually maybe come to the meetings and stuff like that. So actually, and Zoom has been very good for that because we have more people attending the Zoom meetings than we do the in-person meetings. So maybe that's what we needed. And hopefully we'll move forward with in-person with a Zoom option so that if you're at your kid's practice, you can still tune in and listen and hear what's going on. Or so maybe.
Yeah, because maybe they don't have the extra time to get there. And
It didn't work. The day of the week didn't work out. And so so there's always some positives that can come out of change, right? So we'll make it work.
Okay. Anything else that you think we should know, Donna?
We're just plugging along like everybody else. I just hope this reaches people to know that they're not alone. We're all kind of in this situation alone together, kind of, so to speak. So I think we're all feeling the same kind of mixed emotions about everything. So, and we'll just keep going. We'll see what happens in the next 2 weeks.
That's Donna Behrens, a mother of a son in the Sioux City Community School District. The district on Monday night, as we said before, decided to stay the course with in-person and virtual learning, but to try and improve both of those learning methods. You're listening to The Exchange. I'm Mary Hartnett. Now we're going to check in with another one of our four going viral families, Donnie and Stacy Riblets of Moville. Their children attend Woodbury Central Schools. Donnie is on the school board, and Stacy teaches in the elementary school. At Woodbury Central, masks are encouraged but not required for students and staff. When I spoke with Donnie and Stacy 2 weeks ago, they were dealing with their son having to learn at home because he had contact with a student who had tested positive for the coronavirus.
First of all, I think last time we talked to you, Jackson, our ninth grader, had just started quarantine. He just ended quarantine this last week, which is great. But at the same time, it's been a little interesting. His experience over quarantine is a little mixed. He had some teachers that did a really good job, for example, of just kind of setting the expectation of you're in school today. And now when you start, you know, going to school virtually, what is that experience going to look like? How are you going to get assignments? Here's the Zoom room that you're going to dial into, all that kind of stuff. Some teachers were really good at that. Some teachers we didn't hear from at all. Around Woodbury Central, we're one of those schools that, I'm sure you've heard this, but we're one of those schools that's encouraging students to move in their classroom every 15 minutes. So they cannot contact trace and avoid quarantining, which is interesting.
Can you talk a little bit about the sort of philosophy behind the moving?
It's such an interesting question. I mean, the logic behind moving is there's a couple of arguments. And one is you'll hear people say to keep kids in school. What I hear, though, is that, first of all, not only is it logistically very difficult to actually move a classroom every 15 minutes, considering that they're only 45-minute classes, if you're going to move every 15 minutes, kids are literally moving twice during their class period. Teachers are saying that it takes 15 minutes of instruction time away from each class, considering that they have to clean. Logistically, it's very difficult, but the logic for somebody that's saying, here's why it's important to move every 15 minutes is, you know, you'll hear people say that they want to keep kids in school. You know, they want to keep kids in school, and it's part of a number of mitigation strategies that the school is taking to promote safety, which is actually counter to all the medical experts. But again, I mean, this is, as a parent, it flies in the face of what the medical experts are actually saying, that it actually increases the risk. You'll hear silly arguments like movement in the classroom is good for their brain. I'm sure you've seen studies in the past where just physical activity obviously is good for your brain. So those are some of the arguments that are being used to promote movement in class. Why this had to be important in the middle of a global pandemic is news to me, but they want to keep kids in school. They think it's more safe, and, you know, there's a physical activity component to it. No, I mean, again, you know already, we're one of those schools that is not requiring masks. So not only do we have kids that are maskless, but now where teachers were already a little bit on edge because masks weren't going to be required.
Are a lot of people not wearing masks? I mean, students and teachers?
I've asked a lot of kids on the middle school, high school side what's pretty typical. It varies widely by teacher. You'll have some teachers where everybody does wear masks. You know, they'll certainly enforce it within their own classrooms. And then on the flip side, you'll have two or three kids within the class of 20 to 25 that are wearing a mask. So like my son, for example, he has 7 periods throughout the day. Three teachers require masks, and the other 4, he's one of 2 or 3 kids in the class that's wearing a mask.
Now, Stacy, you're in the elementary school, right?
The same moment that they were presenting this to the high school, they presented it to us. And the elementary staff said, no, absolutely not. We're not doing that. And that was it. Our principal was like, okay. And that, like, there was no further discussion, but on the other end of the building, it's quite the deal, which I guess I'm supposed to only speak as a parent, not necessarily an employee. So, but it's easy. I mean, as a parent, my child has expressed to me, let me put it that way, that it's quite a mess on that end.
They get up and they move around the classroom. Is that what they do?
They move out.
Yeah.
Of the classroom. They like go out into the hallway, you know, like quote unquote, going to the bathroom. Like I've heard some of them say, like, they're going to the bathroom and then come back a couple minutes later.
In schools I've heard nearby, they'll just like move in the classroom and separate from the people they were near.
That's what this is, to break up that.
They are going out in the hallway.
Oh, they are going out into the hallway.
Have you guys had any more cases or needs for quarantine at the school?
Yes, my daughter has a classmate in 5th grade that's quarantining right now. Actually, 2 5th graders are quarantining right now because a staff member in elementary tested positive. And this person is a para and was working closely one-on-one with these kiddos for more than 15 minutes at a time. So she's due to be back tomorrow. She was pretty sick. She's due to be back tomorrow. And the other kiddos, though, they can't be back for a while. Like, I think it's a whole nother week.
Do you think it's gotten worse, or is it kind of at a continuous low level where you keep hearing about these things?
Worse as in cases in our school? Speaking as a parent, my child has told me that there are kids that are out that are waiting for test results, but that's not being reported to the school as far as I know. So there's other teachers who have said that as well, that there are kids that aren't there for a few days because they're waiting for test results.
We don't have very many reported cases.
Right.
But we're also, also a small school. So one case here, 2 cases here,
yeah,
can make a big difference. We have 550 total enrollment.
K through 12, yeah.
So, yeah, it wouldn't take.
No. And that being said, like that was the point of trying to get masks mandated because it's an old building. We're not able to physically be 6 feet apart. So
would you be willing to have one or both of your children learn at home?
Yes, I would. Definitely. Donnie's nodding his head, I think.
Yeah, I mentioned earlier that we would
explore
any option, really.
Yeah.
Open enrolling somewhere else. Mm-hmm. Kids at
home. And I just want to be clear that it's not because I don't love the staff at Woodbury Central. It's not that. It's the policies put in place just don't seem to be for the greater good and for the health and safety of our students. They seem to be politically driven. So very hard.
That was Donnie and Stacy Rieblitz, who have 2 children in the Woodbury Central school system. Donnie is on the school board and Stacy is a teacher in the elementary school. Donnie says the school board met on Monday and decided that children will no longer be moving around for the goal of reducing the spread of COVID-19. Donnie and Stacy and their 2 children live in Mobile. Next, we talk with Daisy Marquez. Her and her family live in Sioux City, and the children attend the public schools. Daisy has taken advantage of a program run by Girls Inc. to provide a place for her young daughters to learn virtually. And Daisy says the girls really like the program.
They're doing good. They're still in the virtual. I had them from the start. I had them sign up at during virtual classes. And they're going to Girls Inc. full day.
So how do they like being at Girls Inc. and doing the virtual learning?
Yes, they're loving it. They're looking forward to each day. It's much easier for myself since I work from 8 to 5. Before COVID, Girls Inc. would offer after school programs. So right after school was done, they would go to Girls Inc. But now they're offering full day. So I just drop them off at Girls Inc. before I go to work, and then pick them up after work.
Do they help them sort of keep on track with their schoolwork?
Yes, they do. They're not teachers, but they're staff, and they're doing a great job with helping the girls with their virtual classes. And plus, they provide them additional classes provided by the Girls Inc.
So Girls Inc. is providing additional material, right?
Yes, I think it's like STEM and art and gym also. Yes, that is.
And you have another child in the school system, right?
Well, one just started preschool, and he is actually going to school. He goes to Irving preschool.
So does he like it at Irving? I mean, that's a smaller school. I think that's nice.
And their classes are small, too. There's a number of students. First, he was kind of not liking it because he just hasn't been at school. So, but now he likes it. The girls, I have two girls. The older ones, they are 10 and 8.
Now, I was listening to that report from the school board about all the people that have left virtual learning since it started because they weren't checking in and they just weren't dealing with it. But it really sounds like your girls are liking it and it works well for them.
Yes, it does. And plus, I'm really happy that Girls Inc. provided that program, that full day program. So yeah, we're liking the Girls Inc. program. It's a lot of help and it puts less stress on the parents.
That was Daisy Marquez. Her 3 school-aged children attend the Sioux City Community Schools. Her 2 daughters are learning virtually this quarter and doing that with the help of Girls Inc. And finally, we'll update our 4th family taking part in the Going Viral Media Project. Pamela Venturi is a single mother of 5 between the ages of 9 and 15. All of her children attend Catholic school in Sioux City. One battles lupus and stays at home for learning. She talked to Siouxland Public Media's Sheila Brummer about the school year and what she does to try and unwind during this stressful time.
Pamela, can you kind of give me an update on how things are going now that school has been in full swing for a little while?
Yeah, Paola has been home doing her homeschooling as a 5th grader for Blessed Sacrament at Holy Cross, and her teacher touched base with me today and said she's really excited about how well it's going, and in fact, it's going a lot smoother than she anticipated that it would. So she's doing a lot of mixing of Paola's screen with the rest of the students, so wherever they're seeing her in the classroom, they move her from student to student to student, so sometimes she'll do an activity with one kid, then she'll do an activity with another kid. So she's really feeling like she's part of the classroom anyway. I'm very grateful for that. The high schooler just doing their daily stuff at high school with their teachers and keeping social distanced, and they're pretty smart about it. And so far, none of their close friends have become sick, so they feel really safe where they're at. And the rest of the kids, although they don't like being able to play with the kids as intimately as they used to, they're doing good.
And how are you holding up?
Aside from the fact that we're moving and I'm working, and so that means I have the house and the kids and the normal activities and all of their stuff plus moving, I think I'm doing okay. I feel better about having Paola home, despite the fact that we've got everybody else in school. I'm just doing my own research, and I realize that it's in the world, and by the time this gets anywhere near where we can maybe cure it or have any control over it, they assume that 90% of the world is going to be sick with it at least once. So I'm just hoping that we hold that off as long as we can so that research can catch up before we have to experience that with Paola or any of us for that matter.
And what's interesting is they're actually doing the virtual learning where she's actually in the classroom. It isn't a separate learning experience.
Right. She's learning exactly what her peers are learning, the same exact material. So she's right with her class. She's not behind and she's not doing a different system. She's completely with her class. And so far, that's been working great.
That's good. And we were talking about you. What have you been doing to unwind? You actually had a chance to get out of the house, which doesn't happen very often.
Oh, yeah. One of my best friends, her husband is the lead singer of a band in Omaha called Pet Rock. And it's a 70s smooth band. And I try to go and see them whenever they're here in town at the Marquee, or I go down to Omaha. It's really my only time out. I just take off and get out for a night and enjoy 70s smooth music. It's great. They sound amazing, and they always bring in a good crowd. They're good people and just a good atmosphere. So, yeah, I love getting out to do that. That's my one thing.
And were people socially distancing as much as possible and wearing masks, or... You were at a local venue checking out the band?
There was a huge difference. This is completely different from seeing them in Omaha. A couple weeks ago, I saw them in Omaha over a two-night stint where we saw them at the waiting room. And when you got there, you had your mask on. You wore your mask when you went into the venue. They had tables set up so that everyone was social distanced. You sat with your people. And then if you ever left your table to go to the bathroom or get a drink, you put your mask back on. So that was a completely different experience because here in Sioux City, nobody wore masks. So although the tables were spread apart for social distancing, I was one of the few that wore a mask while we were there. So it was a completely different situation. And if you like listened to the buzz of the crowd, I heard a lot of what we're hearing just politically, the divide and how people are feeling this is being handled. So I just stood there with my mask on and just listened.
We are living in strange times, aren't we?
We are. We are. Never in my wildest dreams did I ever think that I would have to wear a mask all day. Being a nurse, wearing a mask at work is not a big deal for me. And I understand the importance of it. I understand how it works and the mechanics of it. So I understand the value of it. But to expect regular Joe Blow public to wear a mask, that's asking a lot. So all the things that everyone says and their complaints about that, I completely understand. I get it. But as a nurse, I understand all the science behind this, and you know, regular public doesn't understand that. So I really truly deep down inside wish people would understand that our wearing a mask really has nothing to do with ourselves. It's just us protecting each other around us. Like, why can't we care enough about each other to wear a mask so that we're protecting each other? It's no different than putting your seatbelt on in your car. So I just wish people would be a little bit more empathic about what's going on in the world today and protect each other and just get those masks on.
That's Pam Venturi of Sioux City with one of the four families currently taking part in a special Sioux City public media project called Going Viral, Lessons Learned During the Pandemic. Listen for future updates on the exchange during All Things Considered and on our website, kwit.org. You're listening to The Exchange on Siouxland Public Media. Support for The Exchange comes from Gregory Giles, investment advisor representative with Legacy Financial LLC in Sioux City, serving the financial planning and investment needs of clients since 2004. Information about Legacy Financial and Greg Giles is available at legacyfinancialllc.com. Financial planning and advisory services offered through RDA Financial Network. Listening to The Exchange. Nebraska residents will be able to take advantage of greater access to mental health resources thanks to a new CARES Act grant. Heartland Counseling Services will benefit from the $400,000 grant. The nonprofit organization will use the money to help individuals in Nebraska impacted by COVID-19. Jennifer Hart is the Director of Development at Heartland Counseling Services. She says the grant allows for the hiring of 6 new staff members, among other things.
There are 6 individuals that will be new to the staff, 2 youth peer support providers. One will be centralized here in South Sioux City, Nebraska, and the other peer support will be more in the western area of Nebraska, serving some of those western counties, plus another school-based therapist, a Spanish-speaking therapist to be on staff full-time at Heartland, who will also be able to see people via Zoom, and then also a HR, Human Resources Director, which is new to Heartland.
Are virtual appointments a big part of this?
Yes, they're actually a big part of services overall, especially in the mental health, any medical area right there. But being able to get services to individuals is very important, and that's why we still are offering telehealth to individuals that need help dealing, whether it's dealing with anxiety and depression and isolation from COVID, or whether it is just other areas of concern or mental illness that individuals are experiencing. And even though this grant is centralized to Nebraska residents, Heartland Counseling Services does service the whole tri-state Siouxland area.
Do you know the effect of COVID, either, you know, direct or indirect, how it has been from reports of affecting people in the area, asking for mental health help, that kind of thing?
Yeah, I do not have stats on the tip of my fingers, but I do know that Heartland Counseling Services has seen a big intake of substance use. Services needed, so individuals having to deal with the pandemic and have turned to alcohol or relapsing or other substances that they are struggling with. And some of that is, you know, even just the way things have been changing. You can have alcohol delivered from restaurants now, so there's more access. And also just the whole isolation, we've seen a lot of increases in people struggling with anxiety, loneliness due to the COVID pandemic, feelings that people who have never experienced mental health challenges before, now just because of these, everything that's going on, the uncertainty of it all, are experiencing some of these things and just need someone to talk to about that.
You know, even if you're going to work every day and your kid is in school, your kids are in school, it's still sort of always there, right? The whole issue of COVID and the fact that it's not resolved, you know?
Right. It's not resolved and things keep changing daily, sometimes hourly. As far as reporting, there's so many conflicting reports out of there. Another kind of byproduct of being at home is that many people are spending a lot more hours on the computer and maybe receiving all of this information from many different angles, and it can be confusing. But the uncertainty, whether you have kids that are in school, whether they're staying in school, whether they're doing online learning, how do you deal with that? If you're a working parent or a single parent, how do you handle having a child at home? And how do you help them with their learning? Or even if you don't have kids, then the isolation of being alone in your home and being discouraged from going out, and then when you do go out, having to wear masks and how that may affect you as well. Those are all challenges that we all face, and many of us have a great support system that we can talk to family and friends about these things, but sometimes it just becomes overwhelming even for those with that support system, and they need someone outside of that inner circle to talk to and kind of work through things.
So how will people access these resources?
Well, there are resources out there, and I think that's important for people not to be afraid to reach out. The $140,000 that Heartland has through this grant is to help people with rental or mortgage assistance, utilities, food assistance, medical, any of those things. And it's for anyone affected by COVID. So if you are even a two-income household and one person has came down with COVID and has been struggling financially just in that short period of time, it's for you too. Even if you normally don't struggle financially throughout the year, it's for anybody. So whether you or someone you know lives in Nebraska and have had any, whether it's decreases in income or heightened expenses because of COVID, and that could be anything from medical expenses to even just increased expenses having your kids home and that sort of thing, there are ways to get support at Heartland Counseling and other agencies. So make sure people are reaching out. Another piece of this grant is Heartland received some funds, part of this grant, to purchase tablets and smartphones. So devices, if individuals in Nebraska are not sure how to do telehealth because they don't have a smartphone or a device to do that, or maybe they're lost a job and they're trying to search for jobs but don't have the technology to do that from home, also reach out to us because we have some supplies there that might be able to help with that.
That was Jennifer Hart, the Director of Development at Heartland Counseling Services. She was talking about a $400,000 CARES Act grant to Heartland Counseling. For more information, you can go to heartlandcounselingservices.com. Well, it's been a long 6 months without theater in Siouxland, and the folks at Lam Arts Regional Theater are going to remedy that this weekend. Russ Woolley, Artistic and Managing Director of LART and Production Director at Lam, says this weekend's opening is unique in that you can take part in person at the theater for a live performance, or you can stream the show at home. Woolley says the first production of this season is a lighthearted romantic comedy written by an award-winning and prolific screenwriter.
The show is called Outside Mullingar, and it's by John Patrick Shanley. He's the fellow that gave us Doubt and lots of other amazing plays. I read it several years ago, and it was one of those that, it's just a beautiful Irish romantic comedy, a family in Mullingar, in Ireland. And so we had not produced a show with a dialect like that for many years. And again, all of those pieces kind of fit. And so this was on last year's season to be done in March. The first thing that happened on February 11th, on my way to teach at Morningside College, I slipped on the ice and broke my ankle. So that delayed March. We did a flip-flop. We were then going to do it in May to finish the season. And then guess what happened? We all know what happened. the virus was here. And so I have a wonderful cast. My bride is directing. Diana's directing. And I have Brian and Crystal Deck are in the show. And Pamela Berry is in the show. And so, again, it's a very small cast. People ask me about, starting up again. We're really blessed, quite frankly, to be able to have an offering like this. With our intimate theater, the seating is cut way, way down. In fact, when you go online or talk to Lindsay in the box office to get a couple seats, as soon as those seats, you buy those seats, all the seats around you are automatically removed. No one can sit there. So this was again, I was very, very excited that everybody said, oh yeah, let's just wait, let's just wait. We love this show, we love the show. And so again, after about 6 months, we start rehearsing and we're about ready to open on September 18th.
And you're going to have an online presentation of this as well?
Yeah, there'll be two ways you can see the show. You can purchase a ticket, come to the theater and see it live, like we all want to. There are some things that you'll need to do. You need to wear a mask like I am and you are wearing right now, because that helps. We all know that. You'll need
right.
to wear a mask. I do not have wine and beer any longer, because the whole reason you have wine and beer is to sit around and talk, and we don't want to do that right now. We will have bottles of water gratis. So as you go in the theater, if you want to have a bottle of water, you can just have one. Obviously, there are lots of different places where there's hand sanitizer. And then I have purchased from theatrical houses some disinfectant stuff that is used for hospitals, theaters, restaurants. And so all surfaces like that will be cleansed a couple times a day, particularly if we have a matinee. So we want to be sure that folks who say, yes, I want to come to the theater, we're taking all of those precautions. However, I understand if you don't want to do that yet, we have a streaming option, which is something that's being done, obviously, all over the country. So you'll be able to go to our website and or call Lindsay, and she can talk you through it. Same thing, you click on that link and you go there and you put in your card, and what you will receive is a link, a computer link, and that's active for 48 hours, and so then you can decide when you want to watch the show. It is not live streaming. We decided that was something that we could have done, but after lots of discussion, staff decided we did not want to do that. You know, when we were rehearsing, we had a Wi-Fi. It was a Sparklight thing several weeks ago. And we were rehearsing couples online, and all the Wi-Fi went down. So we couldn't rehearse, and we thought, man, it doesn't happen very often, but if it does, that really messes things up. And so we just thought, well, this is what this is all about. This is for people wanting to see the show. And so you will be able to see it then anytime you wish within 48 hours of purchasing that link. And that will only be available during the time of the production. The show runs for 3 weeks, September 18, and closes Sunday, October 4. So don't wait until October 5. The ship has sailed.
It's like a streaming service, right?
And again, it's... who knows? This just might stay on afterwards, because we've had several people, you know, people work with us, and then they're here 2 or 3 years. They do a show. We love them. They love us, and keep in touch here and there, Facebook, etc. And when we've said we're going to do this, we get notes saying how fantastic I'll be able to see that show. Our daughter in Chicago, Cassie, she said, wow, I'll be able to see the shows. Again, if you're a senior and, you know, you came to Lamb all the time and then you finally got to the point, well, I just don't want to drive anymore. Now you have an opportunity to support the theater and also see the show. Now, it is on your television. It's not quote unquote real theater, but it's still going to get you that feeling of watching a show and hearing the storytelling.
I guess finally, I wanted to get an update from you on you're working on your new location.
Yes.
Downtown in the old KCAU building.
Uh-huh.
How's it going?
Well, quite frankly, it's been very challenging the last 6 months. We were able to do some things during that time, very exciting things. We announced this quite a while ago. We have our first naming gift for a space, Margaret and Everest Martin Hall. with a very generous donation. That hall will be named after in her memory and honor. We have we're working on historic tax credits, the Royal We, because it's our architectural firm. But they have submitted part one. It's a very complicated process, but our part one has been approved. And so that's a very, very good step. And we have been in conversation, some long distance conversation, email wise with several people. So we continue to do that. But there's no doubt that this was more than a bump. I mean, you know, those first 3 months, there was a lot of big questions. And so you just kind of wait and bide your time. But we're not deterred. We're not deterred at all. We will continue to work and get this working. We're very excited to see the other project downtown. You know, the Warrior is opening up, and they're a block and a half, two blocks of us away from us. So all that's going to be very exciting.
That was Russ Woolley. He's the Artistic Director and Managing Director of LAM Arts Regional Theater. LAM opens its fall season this weekend with the play Outside Mullingar, both in person and online. For more information, go to lamtheater.com. Well, that's it for this edition of The Exchange. Thanks to Sheila Brummer and Steve Smith. I'm Mary Hartnett. We'll see you next week.